Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
I call on your name. Great. Glory to God. Can you welcome somebody on your right and left again on my behalf? Amen. Father, we call on you this morning. Our Father, we ask for mercy. Show mercy to us and speak truth to us. Don't deal with us as pastors. Deal with us as sons and daughters in the name of Jesus. The Bible says it's the Son the Father loves that the Father will chastise. It's the Son the Father loves that the Father will correct. It's the Son the Father loves the Father will engage. I ask that today you will engage in the name of Jesus. I would like to ask that beyond the preaching, you will answer the cries of our hearts in Jesus' name. Everyone in need, everyone that is believing you for it, I receive answers to those situations in the name of Jesus. Let the fears disappear. Let the concerns be solved. Father, Lord, arise. And let our enemies scatter. Let those who are incensed, Lord, be put to shame. In the name of Jesus. Let the enemy gnash his teeth because of his inability to perform his enterprises against us in the name of Jesus. Bring glory to your name in our lives. Give us reasons to rejoice again. Thank you once again, my Father. I trust you for utterance in the name of Jesus. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. I'm concerned about issues that pertain to the church of God. Hallelujah. And among many things that the Spirit of God spoke about the church, or spoke to the church about, this matter is of great concern also. He said, if I tarry long, the reason why he wrote the epistle, the reason why he wrote the letter, was that Timothy might know how he ought to behave himself in the house of God. Hallelujah. I suppose to be said, I want you to know how to behave. Therefore, it can only mean that the way we behave is important to God much more than what we bring as sacrifices. Hallelujah. Am I talking to us? We've been doing a study on priesthood. And we said that one of the characteristic feature of a priest is that the priest can approach God. Amen. And if that be the case, it's therefore important for us to pay attention how we should behave in the house of God. Hallelujah. Many of us are careless with the way we behave. Oblivious of the fact that there are spiritual and supernatural transactions taking place anytime two or three gather together in his name. You remember he said that anytime two or three gather together in my name, what will happen? He said, I will be in the midst of them. Praise God. May the Lord visit you and give you an awesome experience in Jesus' name. My first encounter with God in a very peculiar way was when I was a very young believer. We had this brother in the fellowship. He was not in the ESCO. In fact, he was a law student. If you pass it, you will not know he's endowed. He had his is prophetic gift. Insight into the things of the Spirit is the first of his kind. Up to today, I've not seen another kind like him. Yet he was a student, a law student. I don't know what became of him. I don't even know his name again. Praise the Lord. So I and my friend went to visit him in his host, in his room, in the hostel. And we sat down, we're talking, and suddenly he stopped the conversation. He said, Jesus is in the room. We looked at each other. I hope this brother is okay. So of course, we asked him, how do you know he's here? Because you can't see Jesus in the room. He said, I can smell his aroma. What are you talking about? And then we began to pick the odor. Beautiful perfume. I said, it's our boys, they are walking on the corridor. It's their perfume that strayed into the room. He said, we should step outside. So, like Thomas, I got up. The thing was strong in the room. And so I stepped out like this, and there was no perfume. And I stepped back, it was strong. Because if it's perfume, it will stray into the corridor. I came into the corridor and stood where. Nothing. I went back. The thing was strong. Then I closed the door gently and I rinsed myself. Whether to sit or stand or fall, I didn't know what to do. The brother I said, don't worry. He said, Jesus understands. Just relax. That was my first experience. Praise God. Yes, I did that because I became conscious he was present. If I was not conscious, I would have been misbehaving, like many of us do in the house of God. Many people misbehave. They just come to church. You just talk anyhow. Some of people think that because service is over, I'm free. You are not free. Because angels are still around. It's like that story of angels on assignment I read. Pastor Buck, his name was, said he came out and he saw angels in his living room. They were all chatting. He woke up, he was woken up in the night. He saw a lot of light coming in from under the door. I was like, who put on the light? I was like, when I went to bed, I put up all my light. Why is the light on? So he woke, got up from the bed, he didn't wake his wife. Went out and opened the door, and what confronted him were angels in glory. Hallelujah. And the leading angels, when he saw them, he was shocked. The guy had to stabilize. So what are you guys doing here this night? So actually what happened, that the Holy Ghost picked up demonic activities around your house and dispatched us to come and clear them. He said, what are you guys still doing? You should go out there and go and fight them. He said, we were on our way back to heaven. You just have to pray. So we waited, if Holy Ghost waited for you to realize, it would have been too late. So Holy Ghost does preemptive maintenance. Even while you don't even know. You don't know when, you don't know that angels go with you. He said, he will give his angels charge over you. So you ought to know how to behave. You need to have this consciousness that he is there. We normally don't have it. It slips out of our memories because we are used to this world around us. Some of you might have given time to ask the question, what happens if I die? You don't understand. Suppose I just die. How will it be like? Your mind cannot conceptualize the reality different from this reality. And that is the sad thing. Because there is so much information in scriptures that tell us how that reality is. And like those who have been there, they say that world is more real than here. In fact, this world that you and I are in is a vapor. Can you understand that? It's what? It's a vapor. It's a vapor. And it's sad that even unbelievers understand this principle more than the sons of God. Because they are more attuned to sin than the rest of us. Having said this, praise God, there is an aspect of our behavior I want to pick up. I've just spoken to others generally about behavior. But I want to speak on some other aspects of behavior. And it has to do with our stewardship. Praise God. Our stewardship. How have we handled the time, the resources, the opportunities, relationships? You don't know that relationships are part of God's blessings. Mommy read Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. Spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Relationships are part of those blessings. Hallelujah. He's not speaking in tongues, don't have blessings. Amen. I said amen. Relationships. How have you handled this? How have you handled this? Let's look at the story. There's one interesting story. Luke chapter 16. Verses 1 to 8. Luke 16, 1 to 8. And he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said to him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Amen. My emphasis to this morning is give account of your stewardship. Give account of your stewardship. Listen to me, whether you like it or not, one day we all will stand before that terrible throne, and the Bible says we shall all give account of what we did in our bodies. Everything that was given to you, you will stand and give account for it. Can we expand the thought? What are the things that were given to you? I've mentioned some of it. Relationship is one of it. What will you tell God about your relationships and how you handle it? I just want you to think. As I'm speaking, I want you to just please think about what I'm saying. Amen. If you have the opportunity or the privilege, praise God. Today, they just say, yeah, come. And they come. And you are before God. Oh yeah, Alpha. Yeah, tell me, what have you done in the earth? How many years did you spend? I spent 80 years. Very good. Oh yeah, from the day you were born. The first breath you took, you have to start giving accounts. You know why? See, God has time. God has what? Time. Time is not his problem. God is eternal. I don't know how long the judgment of the earth will take, but it will not take time. You don't even know. It will be like it took 5 minutes, and the whole world, since Adam, since the last man, when the judgment was, it will just be like 5 minutes. So don't worry, God has time. Don't say, when it just gets, it's just a good time. Blessing you. Okay, my Lord. We'll do it tomorrow. Praise the Lord. There is no tomorrow there. There is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. So let us look at your relationships. Have you handled your relationships? Those relationships didn't come your way because you chose some of them. Yes, you might have chosen them, but that it clicked, you will give an account for what and how to handle it. Were you a blessing in that relationship, or were you a burden in that relationship? The words you spoke in that relationship, were they seasoned with salt, or were they curses? Praise God. The relationship you have with the lockers, how did you handle? Am I talking to you? How did you handle your relationship with your enemies? Oh, you think that God will bite you? Well, Peter said, I now know that God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't respect persons. When he expected that you should bless your Lord, that you were called to him, are you here to die? In fact, one day they will call you, you know, actually, you provoked me. No, wala. Am I talking to us? What about your money? How did you spend your money? I know some of us don't actually think about that. That actually the money that is in your hand was given to you. Who is that that the money was not given to you? Even the salary I earned, they gave me. The job I have, did I create it myself? No. Okay, the one I created, Pastor Bello created job, but they gave me the job. He didn't create it. It was given. So everything that was given, you will come and for it. He will give account of your stewardship. And so it behoves you to find out how you are expected to handle. Because some of us just assume, it's my life. That is my life. You will understand that it comes out of a selfish disposition, a self-centered attitude. And you can bet it. Please, go and bet. When you get to heaven, if I am wrong, come and collect your money. Praise God. Self-centered people are not going to make heaven. They are not going to go with God. Selfishness is a bane. You remember Adam, the first manifestation of the fall was selfishness. Adam, what happened? It is the woman you gave me. He was not the one. He spoke from that place of self. Some people said to me, I don't want anybody to control me. It's selfishness speaking. Self-centeredness is talking. There's no one else that cannot be controlled. Even Buhari is being controlled. Ask him now. Saraki is chasing him up and down. There's nobody that cannot be controlled. Somebody must control you. Even my wife has a level of control over me. At times she said, "This shoe is over. Leave me alone. I will wear my shoe." After I've gone, I come back. I'll go and remove the shoe. I wear another one. It's just you that talk, though. I just saw that the shoe was control. So who is there that does not want control? Oh, see? And for that reason, and because of these things, that you will give account. Praise God. You know the nature of that man that the Bible gave talents to. Said that man that was given one talent. What did the Bible say about him? He went to hide the talent. And so when the master came back, he said, "This is your talent. I'm giving." I didn't even bother myself because I know that you are not a man. You are a mean guy. You reap where you don't sow. Because he doesn't want to get involved. He doesn't want to get his hands dirty. He's afraid that if he comes close to people, they will hurt him. So he stayed back. I don't want anything. No. I just come and I just go. When you stand before God, what will you tell him? Nothing. Be careful. Your time, be careful the way you use it. I came to understand that there's a need for us to be auditing the way we do time. It's not only money you audit. Audit your time. Your time is the greatest resource. I don't know where I was saying it here one time ago. Pastor Shimolo said that he discovered something about the developed countries. And you know the difference between the developed countries and the non-developed countries and the not going to develop countries. They will not develop. You can pray to tomorrow they won't develop. If for one, just one thing. One simple thing. You know what he said it was? Time management. Oyibo can manage time. If Oyibo gives you 10 minutes, after 10 minutes, you won't see him there again. But Nigeria will come after 1 hour. It doesn't matter. They don't care. We don't appreciate the enormity of accountability. We all have 24 hours. The president of Nigeria has 24 hours. The president of America has 24 hours. Everybody on earth has 24 hours. Praise the Lord. And so you find out the reason why the what we call the industrialized nations are better than ours, that they've been able to pack so many things within the same time. Am I making sense to you? They are able to pack what? Do so many things. So they call it mass production. What Brother Lumre will take 1 week to do a machine. One machine will do that whole work in 2 minutes. They packed it. They compressed it. Time management. And so if you don't value your time, chances are that when you step into eternity, you will have a lot of explaining to do. You will have a lot of explaining to do. Because according to God's program, He expected that by the time you are stepping into eternity, there are certain things you would have accomplished. Now what comes to mind immediately is the story of Joshua. You remember Joshua? God gave Joshua so much authority, so much power. He decked him with authority, with wisdom, with all that he needed to succeed. In fact, God gave him a charge. It's anywhere the sole of your feet shall touch is yours for possession. I said, no man. That includes giants, dwarfs, fat, sting, will not be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Praise God. But years after, God Himself made a very, very sad verdict. He said, Joshua, you are very old, and you will soon die. But there are yet so much land to conquer. I don't know what Joshua was doing, but I guess he didn't manage his time properly. And that will be, and I'm saying that is going to be a sad commentary. By the time we step, they'll say, oh, you spent 8 years, but what I wanted you to accomplish, you even never did. I want to believe that we are facing the problem we are facing today in Philippines because of what Joshua did not do. Am I making sense? Go and read what God did there. The land that God gave them went as far back, as far as Iraq. Is it Iraq? Yeah? Iraq, Iran, Syria, all those places were given. Saudi Arabia, all of them was the land of Israel. But Joshua didn't conquer it. Today they are suffering for it. They've hemmed them into one small corner. So, how you and I use our time is very important. No wonder the psalmist wrote, he said, teach us to number our days. That we do what? Apply our hearts to wisdom. It's a very germane prayer point. It's a very, very serious thing because you and I will stand before God and will give account to Him how we extended our time. So I want to say, anything, any activity that has no eternal value, that has had nothing to you, why should you participate in it? Praise the Lord. Now, I might say you should spend all your days in church. You can live in church and sleep in church. It still will not amount to anything. Praise God. I said, praise God. It will not amount to anything. Why? Because it is the glory of God. No, it is the honor of God to conceal a matter. It is the glory of kings to search it out. If you want to reign in this life, and walk in glory, find out what God has for you to do, and you do it, you will come to glory. Hallelujah. I say you come to what? You come to glory. This is always falling off. Maybe we should just use super glue. Amen. Am I communicating this morning? Praise God. What about your gifts? What about your time? What about, like I'm talking about your gifts, your talents? How are you using it? For who? Some of you think that those things were given to you for yourself. Don't worry. Only time will tell. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's look at this other scripture. 1 Corinthians 4 verses 1 and 2. Let us see how Paul responded to this issue. He says, I said 1 Corinthians chapter 4, not 12. Let a man so do what? Account of us. Let me read another translation. This one. Okay. He says, praise God. Okay. No, let me say with KJV. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ, as stewards of the mysteries of God. Verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. What is Paul trying to communicate here? Say, let a man so account of us. Let a man so evaluate us. Evaluate us as ministers of Christ. Praise God. But as a minister of Christ, something is pertinent about it. The Bible calls it what? Stewards of what? The mysteries of God. How you use, how you deploy, how you strengthen the body of Christ is very, very important. Do you know that knowledge, that even acquired knowledge is going to be an issue to you tomorrow? Do you understand? Knowledge. Any information that you acquire, God will demand a corresponding fruit from it. Praise God. Knowledge is a seed. Hallelujah. Knowledge is what? A seed. And it must produce fruit. So all that God gave to the apostles, making them stewards, they were seeds of the kingdom. They called them the mysteries of the kingdom. Hallelujah. And so you could not, as a minister of the gospel, deploy it anyhow. You need wisdom. Which farmer have you seen, apart from my own, praise God, that tried to plant seed in the dry season? I'm an engineer, I'm not a farmer, praise God. If you appreciate the fact that the seed is precious, I'll be careful the way I plant it. Amen. Am I communicating? When whatever it is that God has given to you, especially knowledge, is supposed to use for His glory. If you cannot trace what you are doing to His glory, you are going to have issues down the line. And the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So, look at us, evaluate us as ministers of Christ and stewards of His mystery, that we have been faithful. So, your stewardship requires what? Faithfulness. Many of us are not faithful by our natural upbringing. Again, it is out of selfishness. When you have this attitude, it doesn't concern you. If you are going to engage faithful steward of God, then you are going to step out of your comfort zone. Praise the Lord. You are going to have to step out of your comfort zone. Supposing you have, God has blessed you with a natural empathy. There's a way you can comfort people, can console people. But because you don't want people to abuse you, you keep it to yourself. And so many people who are hurting in body do not get the opportunity of having you minister to them. You will stand before God and you are going to have problems. Because God has put you there to be a solution to a problem. And you did not activate that grace. Hallelujah. Am I talking to us? Faithfulness. Faithfulness is important. And it's so sad that if you look at the whole country, nobody is giving account for any action. Nobody cares. Nobody is answerable to anybody. But you cannot do that in the household of God. It's not acceptable. Aki can do it, but you cannot do it. Buhari can do it. You cannot do it. Praise the Lord. Osibajo can do it as vice president, but not when it comes to church. Because the church, Paul said it is what? Is the pillar and the ground, the foundation. That is where truth is built. Amen. It's a serious business. Without faithfulness, without a determination to be accountable. I give you money. Go and make me buy biscuits. Biscuit, that's where it starts from. How much? I give you 500 naira. How much they buy biscuits? No, it's not just 5 naira biscuits I will send you. Here you know. I'm talking about biscuits of 350. You know those ones. Not the Chinese one, no. The normal one. I come back with a change of 150. And you don't tell pastor, pastor, this is your change. The pastor 150. No, 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 just pocket it. That's where it's starting from. You are preparing yourself for empire. Praise God. That's where it starts from. Confidence. You don't give account. I go out. Normally I go to work. I come back by 5-6. By 8 o'clock I'm not back at home. And I didn't call my wife. I now walk, come back at 9 o'clock. She's now asking, where did you go? Say, it's none of your business. I'm the head of this house. That's where it's starting from. They are not giving accounts. People ask you, why did you wear this dress? It's none of your business. Your problem is already started. It's Paul who said that you should be ready to give an answer to anyone that asks you about your faith. You should be able to give an answer. If your ways are pure, you should not be afraid to say, I went to see something. Hallelujah. And that should be alibi. May God not arrange, may Satan not arrange program for you. Praise God. And there's no one to say it is not so. Pastor shared a story with us when we were in Lagos. I never heard that story before, but I will share the story with you. Somebody lied that he did something he did not do. And it was the person's word against him. So, and he did not know what to say. He was like, ha. He said, he began to think, when did I do this thing? When did I commit this thing? Was it while I was sleeping? Was it if you're in trouble, hey. You know what saved him? He had an alibi. His neighbor was passing. He said, please call, that's my neighbor, please call her. So the neighbor came and said, is this true that pastor did this? Fact, the woman reacted. The pastor came, no, who lied? You are not that lied. Go, sir. Then they knew that. People should know how you move. You never can tell what tomorrow. If pastor had been doing, one man squad, I'm only one doing my own. Nobody would have exonerated him. His case would have been done. Sure, you want to tell me that people did not know that Joseph did not sleep with that woman. They knew that Joseph did not sleep with that woman. They knew. But nobody was just willing to help him. But they knew. Praise the Lord. Please, be able to be accountable. Find somebody. See, in this Christian life, you need somebody you can account to. Somebody you can tell. Somebody that can vouch. Somebody that can say, what you are saying is true. Am I talking to you? Somebody that can say, yes, this person's work is pure. It's not that you'll be doing, you'll be coding. You'll be coding your life. Nobody knows where you, nobody knows where you work. Nobody knows anything about you. Pastor of my friend said before, when he was a classical, said before they ordain anybody, they will send spies in his workplace to go and find out what kind of person he is. Maybe we should start that. Praise God. Amen. Because people are saints in church and devils. They fight. I had a neighbor that used to fight if he handles a husband. You'll be afraid. And yes, she was a minister. He gets his food. Oh, praise God. Jesus is sweet. I had to call the zonal pastor. How is this a minister of the gospel? They had to remove her. She got angry that they reported her. Yes, we should report you because she is misbehaving in the house of God. That our house is also an extension of the house of God. Praise the Lord. You can't be decking your wife and be using her as punching bag. And then you come to the pulpit and be saying, the Lord is good. The Lord loves all the... You are a liar. You are a liar. And such a person should not be allowed. Because he is an unfaithful person. Look at your life. Some of you, you are not in any department. You just come to church and go. You don't want to get yourself involved. Look, church is a place you get dirty. Amen. Church is a place that people will step on your toes. Because the people in church are not perfect. They are not perfect, but God will help us. It's a commitment to stick it out until the person or you yourself will change. Hallelujah. And there's a reward for those who stick it out, who stand till the end, who will not throw in the towel because somebody betrayed them. People have abandoned the faith because they had one minister of God stole money. Eh? They are stealing money in that church. Eh? I swear to God, if they see my leg in church again, I won't come. Whose fault will it be? Or who is going to lose? It's you. Praise God. Many years ago, I had issues in church. The church I was in, I had very, very bad issues. Very, very bad issues. The issues were so bad that the pastor called me and said, all my offerings and all my tithes and everything that I've ever done in this church, I should go evaluate it, come back to money, they will pay me off so I can be going. I be borrowing. Only, I could just give an example how bad my case was. Amen. I won't tell you what I used to do. Praise God. But I was not a rebel. I was not a rebel by the word of the rebel. But I was standing for truth. So when you stand for truth, it doesn't mean that trouble will come your way. And it was because I stood for truth that came my way. And I had to make a choice whether I could use the opportunity to collect the money and go and start my own church. I better get it. Only if I give an average of 100 naira per service, and we do 3 services per week, alone we die, 300 times 10 years. My dad church will be there. Praise God. But I told him, I said, sir, I was not serving you, I was serving God. And in any case, this church is my father's house. It is not your church. When my father asked me to leave, I will leave. I'm not going anywhere. Any other matter? That's where the matter is. Do you follow me? It's my father's house. And I will continue to serve in my father's house. You can't drive me out of my father's house. Am I talking to you? You can't drive me. It's my father's house. And because it's my father's, it's my concern how my father's house is run. I have right to ask why you do it. You can't just come to my father's house and you start breaking things and you expect to sit there and be looking at you and be smiling at you. No, I will challenge you. I will fight. Look, this issue of soul to anointing, those are one of the things that got me in trouble, praise the Lord. Yeah, praise God. Anointing for virginity. I don't know where they got it from. I have no idea for sure. But those are the things I was fighting. Like, this is not right. And so they wanted to drive me out because I was becoming a thorn in the flesh. And I said I would be because it's my father's house. Praise God. I'm not a troublemaker. I'll tell you people, no. I don't like making trouble. But if you want trouble, I can give you. Okay, let me finish my message. I want you to get involved. Because if you are not involved in the house of God, in the building process of God, it's going to be a problem for you down the line. God rewards those who are involved in the building. Yes. God has blessed every one of you with something to bring to the table. Are you with me? Look, when pastor is prophesying and is interpreting and pastor, they are doing demonstration, I'm not intimidated. You know why I'm not intimidated? Because that is not my gift. I'm confident in my own gifting. I'm not envying their own gift. He gave it as he willed. Praise God. So why should I be fighting? And he said, okay, because pastor can prophesy. People are now going to meet him. Say, pastor, please pray for us. People are leaving me as the left saw. I'm not moved at all. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Everybody has something. It's because, see, the whole objective is that the house should be built. It will be foolish for the carpenter to be envying the bricklayer. It will be foolish. Amen. Somebody told me of a guy on the construction site who came in as a labor. Then he now saw that the money we're paying the bricklayers was more than his own. He now came to the man and said, "Me too, I can do bricklaying." Instead of him learning, you just don't be envious. I've seen men die because they stepped out of their calling. They stepped out and they entered their rest. Who was this man? The big one, Abraham. Abraham, he was a prophet. But he was envious of his friend. Lindsay, Gordon Lindsay, who was a teacher. And so he stepped out of his prophetic office and started teaching. And that's how he entered there. And it was a matter of time. Jesus had to take him away. He died before he started. Let us stay, but let us be effective. This Sunday tonic will not help you the day you stand before God to give account. What will you tell God you did? What will be your contribution? That you contributed to the building of the body of Christ. What will you say when your story is going to be read? I didn't get to where I'm standing today because I just appeared. But I just found out that church is not a good way of making money. No. I have history. I can tell you my history. I can tell you from the time I gave my life to Christ, I can tell you history today. And I've been making myself available. I like Pastor Bello. And people don't know, it was in this Beacon Convention that they said a little of truth. When they said that story, people rearranged. Because they used to think that Pastor Bello, because he's assisting Pastor Shigi, then he must be a low, you know, they weighed him along. What are you going to say to you? Condition of the crayfish bend. Pastor, I don't remember, as far back as it is some 89, we have been together. When I got inside, it was there. Spent 10 years. According to local government, the local government or government, I'm entitled to gratuity. They should be paying me gratuity and pension now. Pensionable. It's good. We've been there. We've seen it. We've seen the rise of how Redeem started. Model Parish. We've seen everything. I can tell the story of the church in this land. We've seen them all come and go. We've seen it. Hallelujah. So because Pastor is with me, after Pastor left, after he left as a senior pastor in Agape. He went to another church and he went to join the sanitation. He first left church. You don't know what it was to be in Agape. Somebody driving. The ushers are running to carry your bag. Daddy, daddy, daddy. Two legs on the ground. Bam. Full compliment. Somebody greets the pastor. Good morning. I think I decided to Agape to go and do it. When you come back, your head will be respected. They will carry your Bible, they will worship you, they will do everything. You now left that and you came to be washing church floor. It was that time you said one person said, "Ah, Brother Bello, you are pouring water on my body." Everyone itself will respond. Everyone will respond. Praise God. Do you understand me? Now, if it was position pastor was looking for, if people do that, by the time he comes to the church, he will stand there and say, "Go and call your senior pastor." Say, "Why are you born again?" So by the time he finds out about senior pastor, "Okay, you are born again. Okay, you were born again in 1997. And I've been a senior pastor since 1990, okay, four, okay. So you're a small boy. Okay, I want to sit there. You understand me? People do that. But because the understanding that is your father's house, that he has to be doing something in his father's house, made that a simple decision to make. that if it is written that is available, I would make myself available. But some of you are so proud. I don't know what you have gotten that you can look in the house of God. Your title outside there does not work out. As a military officer, he could easily have brought in soldiers and that person said they carry nothing with Abapu. Do you follow me? Sometimes it's good to know pastor. When I enter trouble in Lagos, I just the pastor just sent somewhere from Naval headquarters. Okay, thank you. It's good to know. Nigeria has did that kind of arrangement. Amen. But when it comes to church, now the church told me, pastors, they were to do physical work, and the church members came. I said, pastor, how much will it cost? Let us pay. He said, no, it's not their money. It's your sweat, your sacrifice that you have given. If I come meeting now, I said, let us come and see. Some of you are too psychedelic to come and cut grass. Because you are now big boys, big girls. You will stand before God and give account of your big boyness and your big girlness. In church, don't let your position, don't let whatever it is you've attained out there be an hindrance to serving God in the house of God. Otherwise, you will be endangering your soul. Don't endanger your soul. It is not worth what you are trying to do. It's not worth it. Be faithful in the little that God has given. Let me round up my thoughts and let me leave here. My time is fast spent. The Lord. Praise the Lord. Be not unbelieving, but believing that I will live here in Jesus' name. 1 Peter, I'm not going to read. 1 Peter 4, verses 8 to 10. Let me read. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As every man has done what? Received. I don't know what grace you have received. I don't know. But every man has received a gift. Every man has something to contribute. Now said, even so, minister the same to what? To one another. Thank you, Pastor. In unveiling the mystery of the church, the Bible calls it the body of Christ. And Paul began to say that every part of the body is important. I don't know if anybody has a part of his body that is not important. Except the appendix. Appendix is the only organ in the body that they can remove and you will not die. There is no other thing that they can remove and you will not die. I think doctors have not found out why God put the appendix. They have not understood the body. There's a reason why God created it. Hallelujah. Maybe the day I see him again, I hope I can remember. I say, why did you do appendix? There's a reason. Praise God. So everybody contributes something to the body. So Paul used the example. If the whole body were a leg, who would do the work of the hand? If the whole body were a head, who would do the body of the leg? So all of us have what we have been given. That's why I said I'm not intimidated. Praise God. Have you seen the place where your teeth and your tongue fight? Who loses? Who loses? It's the whole body. When my teeth bite my tongue, is it my tongue that feels pain? From the crown of my head to the sole of my feet, the pain will just radiate like that. Hallelujah. So we all lose. So if you are not available, all of us are losing. We may not know, but as far as God is concerned, the whole body is losing. Don't stay away. Don't say it's my life. It's not your life. you were saved to serve. The Lord will help us. Get involved. Whether you are in anywhere, get involved. If you have to go back to believer's class, go back. Just make sure that you are getting involved. The Lord bless you. In Jesus' name. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Father, we give glory to you. You have to make a decision. I want to commit yourself to God. I beg your pardon, commit yourself to God. There is a need for us to make that decision. It's a quality decision you have to make that is going to have eternal repercussions. It's a decision you have to make. You cannot continue this way of being unconcerned about that which concerns God. The church is a pillar and is a ground of truth. It is a household of God. The people there may be imperfect. The people there may not measure up to your capacity. But you have to see beyond that they are God's people. And God saved you and decked you with glory, decked you with wisdom, decked you with gift, decked you with grace, that you may help build that body. There is something that is inside of you that God will want you to make available. That young boy made available is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I believe that God never forgot that boy. God never forgot that boy. He made available what he had, and heaven took it, and heaven multiplied it. Make available what you have. Make available your time. Make available your resources. Make available your giftings. Make available whatever it is that God has given to you, that the church of Christ may be built. Make a decision today. Whether you find yourself elsewhere, it does not matter. See it as your Father's house. See it as you being a joint heir to the things of God. And so, Eternal Father, I thank you. Thank you for the grace you've given to me to speak this morning. I commit my breath and myself to your hands. I pray for mercy, that you'll have mercy on us in the name of Jesus. I ask, Father, that you will make this issue clearer to us by making us, O Lord, to see where we fit into your plans in the name of Jesus. Help us to be productive. Help us to be faithful. Teach us, O God, and equip us for the challenges ahead in Jesus' name. We don't want to stand before you and have nothing to defend. Father, Paul spoke about him finishing the fight and waiting, and he was looking forward to the crown of glory. Father, let that be our expectation.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.